Hello there, folks. It's me, DJ Hacksaw. How are you doing? Can you believe how fast this year's going? It's already March. Whoo! It is March today, folks. March 1st. And today on the Bravo Sierra Hour, I do not have a special guest. However, we will be talking about personal responsibility in the workplace, how I learned personal responsibility in the Army, and just life in general. I hope you guys are having a great week. It's Friday. And since it's March, St. Paddy's Day is coming up. As you know, Laurier is famous for a lot of things. Great student satisfaction, we're number one in that. But also, we are number one for our St. Paddy's Day celebration. So, what are you guys excited for St. Paddy's Day? Tweet at me, Instagram post, all that good stuff. Just message me about any St. Paddy's Day festivities you might have, because I know I'm very excited for St. Paddy's Day, being semi-Irish. I say semi-Irish because I'm like 1/8 Irish, but technically that makes me Irish. And I always say, if you're lucky enough to be Irish, you're just lucky enough. So I'd like to think that being 1/8 Irish makes me enough Irish to say I'm Irish. But yeah, what are your general St. Paddy's Day festivities like? I personally will be wearing a lot of green and, maybe having one or two Guinnesses. We'll see. But hopefully y'all are responsible on St. Paddy's Day, head out to Ezra Street and have a good time. But this week we talked about personal responsibility. So for me, personal responsibility really means just being accountable for your actions, whether you get a bad mark on a test or just in general. Maybe you lie to your parents and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually, no, I did take that candy from that baby or whatever. But for me, personal responsibility is very big, and we'll be diving into that on this episode of the podcast, of the Bravo Sierra Hour podcast, and also playing some great music. Just to start off, we'll be playing some Andy Minot for You Can't Stop Me. You can't stop me! Can't stop, won't stop. Where the bricks at? Hello again, how you doing, folks? So today on the Bravo Sierra Hour, we are talking about personal responsibility and what that means for you. So for me, I learned personal responsibility predominantly from my parents, but also on my BMQ and BMQ land. An example of just what it meant for personal responsibility and accountability as far as it was in the military, there was a rule on the courses I went on that you do not leave your gun just laying around, for obvious reasons. If you leave your rifle lying around in the field, say you get deployed and you just leave it around, someone else who's obviously not someone you want to have with a military rifle could come pick it up and use it against you. So every time, you were responsible for your rifle, and every time someone would leave the rifle around, the entire group, not just that person, the entire group would get in trouble, and maybe they would have to do some rifle drill, or maybe do some push-ups. So that was really where I learned, okay, I have to be accountable for everything in my life, from the smallest details of how clean is my rifle to the big things like, okay, is my friend okay? And personal responsibility is just that. It's not just about you. It's about the people you're working with. If you're working on a group project, is so-and-so contributing, everything that they can? Posting on Instagram right now for the show. Now that's over. But yeah, is that person is that person contributing 100% to that project? Because if you can contribute as much as you can to that project, and that's great, that's amazing, phenomenal, you're doing all the work you can, right? But if one person isn't contributing 100%, then you will fail. And that person needs to take responsibility for their actions too, but you're also responsible for that person because, you know, they're part of your group, they're part of your squad or whatever you want to call it. So personal responsibility for me isn't just, oh, I need to take care of this person or I need to take care of myself. You need to take care of what needs to get done for your group to succeed. And lots of people will say, oh, I can't take too much responsibility because I got dealt a crappy hand in life. I was given a crappy hand to play with for life. And obviously there are some people who get dealt the worst hands possible. Maybe they were born in a third world country and it's very hard for them to get somewhere, like for Canada or the US, where they could grow and prosper and all that stuff. But it's still possible for them to succeed. Obviously, we want to help those people as much as possible, but it is possible for them to work hard and grow and flourish. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't help those people in, you know, horrible situations, you know, the homeless or whatever. But they can also do stuff to help themselves in a scenario that maybe isn't the best. They can also pick themselves up and work hard. Obviously, hard work is the solution to most things, and that's where you have to be personally responsible. You can't go out partying every night and expect to get A's. That's not how life works. And it's just, I see a lot of it nowadays where people will go out, especially at Laurier, people will go out, party every night, and I'm following this page on Instagram, Uni Bangers. It's just funny videos of people at Laurier and UW, and they'll just, you know, go out and do whatever, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, etc., etc. But I'm guessing those people, obviously I don't know, those people could be mathematical geniuses or whatever. And those people, gross generalization here, they're probably not doing well in school. So partying all the time isn't the best solution to, living life. Now, obviously, you can go party once in a while, but generally, you shouldn't be partying every day, because that's not going to help you in the long run. And I know it probably sounds like most of your parents right now saying, you shouldn't party every day, you should be getting good marks. And no one wants to hear that from their parents, because their parents are old. And, you know, whatever. But I think parents do have some good points to learn from. And I have this really funny joke, actually. I do it in my stand-up once in a while. It's, some parents complain that their kids don't respect them, and I always say, well, yeah, it's because to your kids, you're one generation closer to apes that you evolved from, so why would they respect a lower species? And it's a joke, but at the same time, it's like, that's sort of how some kids view their parents, a lower species, and so to get advice from someone who's maybe your age is maybe a bit more applicable to you. So at the end of the day, you need to be responsible for your own actions. And if you mess up in some way, it's on you. There's no way around it. You can't go and say, it's all the patriarchy's fault that I'm not doing well. Or it's all, it's all Jimmy's fault because he's whatever. No, you can work hard and have success in Canada and in the U.S. and anywhere where it's a democracy. You can do well. It's just hard work. Buckle down, buckle up, and just work hard. It's not, It's hard, yes, but it's not a hard concept to grasp. Anywho, I'm probably going to annoy a lot of people with this show, so I'll break it up with music once in a while. Here's a classic rock song that you guys will love, Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. Of course, we are running by on Spotify here, so there's an ad for Spotify. Sorry about this, folks. So that song will play after these ads. Thanks, Spotify. Get Spotify Premium, folks. Get Spotify Premium. It's much easier for everyone if you get Spotify Premium. Sorry for these ads. But yeah, Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, everyone. Enjoy.
Something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine.
We're back, and we're talking about personal responsibility here on the Bravo Sierra Hour. And there are a couple great speakers that have addressed this personally. I'm a big fan of Jocko Willink and Jordan Peterson. Both have written great books about personal responsibility. Jordan Peterson wrote 12 Rules for Life. It's honestly a great read. I recommend it. Jocko Willink wrote Dichotomy of Leadership. That's a great book. Discipline Equals Freedom. He's written a couple of kids' books, too. I forget the names, honestly, but both great authors have addressed personal responsibility and how to deal with it. A quote from Jordan Peterson is, stand up straight with your shoulders back is to accept the terrible responsibility of life with eyes wide open. It means deciding to voluntarily transform the chaos of potential into the realities of habitable order. It means adopting the burden of self-conscious vulnerability and accepting the end of the unconscious paradise of childhood, where finitude and morality are only dimly comprehended. It means willingly undertaking sacrifices necessary to generate a productive and meaningful reality. It means acting to please God in the ancient language. Jordan Peterson, I think that's a great quote because it really does summarize in advanced and basic terms what you have to do in life to take on personal responsibility. You gotta stand up, shoulders back, and just charge right into whatever sort of crap you've got to deal with. It means you have to take full responsibility of your actions, and you have to take control of your life. Now, I know some people might not want to hear that. It's not the patriarchy's fault. It's not the fact that you're a different race than the predominant race. There are some people who are horrible people out there who are racist, but it's not the majority of people. The system's not built against you. Pick up your cross and walk with it. That's another quote from Jordan Peterson. He says, pick up your bloody cross and go with it. And I think that's a great metaphor for what you have to do in life. You have to just pick up your cross and deal with the burdens that life has dealt with you. Now, I'm not saying that, people with severe mental illness need to just deal with it. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that people who are well-equipped and able to, deal with whatever can succeed. I'm sure every radio host at Radio Laurier and 99% of students here at Laurier can, 99.999% of students here at Laurier are fully capable of simply just saying, okay, you know what? It's all on me. Anything that bad happens, it's on me. Maybe the professor is an idiot. Maybe. But most of the professors here have PhDs or at least a master's. So it's probably not them. If you let a C on a test, it's probably not the professor's fault. It's probably on you there. And the university is not stacked against you. Unless, of course, you're a conservative speaker, but we won't go there. But you need to pick up whatever you're doing and deal with it. Dr. Willing says, the test is not a complex one. When the alarm goes off, do you get out of bed or do you lie there in comfort and fall back asleep? If you have the discipline to get out of bed, you win. You pass the test. If you are mentally weak for that moment and you let that weakness keep you in bed, you fail. Though it seems small, and it does, that weakness translates into more significant decisions. If you exercise discipline, that too translates into a more sustainable elements in your life. I mean, it's just about, where are you mentally? Are you mentally that person that wants to stay in bed all day and just relax? I know I have been that person. I've been that person that says, five more minutes of sleep won't hurt me. And, you know, 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, all of a sudden you've been asleep for an hour and you've missed class. And then you missed class, you missed important information, you missed that important information, suddenly you're getting bad marks, then you're not getting the job you want, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. There's a term in the military that says, embrace the suck. I wear it on my hat all the time. And embracing the suck means to, okay, there's a great definition. A friend sent me this meme of embrace the suck. I'll try and find it for you guys because it gives you the best understanding. Okay, here it is. Embrace the suck, verb, military slang. To consciously accept or appreciate something that is extremely unpleasant but unavoidable for further progression. Again, I'll say that. To embrace the suck. To consciously accept or appreciate something that's extremely unpleasant but unavoidable to forward progression. What that means is simple. Yeah, it's not suck to study. Yeah, it's not suck to work hard. Yeah, it's not suck to take responsibility for some of the stuff that you've done. But it'll make you a better person in the long run. I know personally, when I was on my BMQ land, I did not like having to, you know, sit in a foxhole and just stare at nothing, like forest. But afterwards, I looked back on that and think, wow, that made me a stronger person. That made me a stronger human being. I love that now. It made me just who I am today, and it was honestly one of the best experiences I could have ever had. So the tough things that may seem like impossible now, studying for a midterm, you know, having a hard conversation with your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever you're seeing, take responsibility for that. Say, listen, I messed up. I studied less than I should for my exam. Whatever. What can I do to fix that? Have the hard conversations. And yeah, it'll suck. But you've just got to embrace that suck. Because no one's going to be there to hold your hand your entire life. It sucks, yeah. But you got to do it. Anywho. It's probably enough of me ranting for a little while. Here's another good song. It's from The Greatest Showman, From Now On.
I drink champagne with kings and queens. The politicians praise my name.
And we're back, folks. How you doing? So I'd just like to start off with another Jocko quote because that man is amazing. Take ownership. Take extreme ownership. Don't make excuses. Don't blame any other person or any other thing. Get control of your ego. Don't hide your delicate pride from the truth. Take ownership of everything in your world, the good and the bad. Take ownership of your mistakes. Take ownership of your shortfalls. Take ownership of your problems. And then take ownership of your solutions that will get those problems solved. Take ownership of your mission. Take ownership of your job, of your team, of your future. Take ownership of your life and lead. I think that's a great quote, and really what I'm trying to get across in this show, at least this episode anyways, is take ownership. Take responsibility for your actions. The world is not responsible for you. The world owes you nothing. The world is not a great place. The world is not you know, life is not easy. But you need to take ownership of what you have, every little mistake, every little flaw, and you need to own it. Because at the end of the day, no one else knows your problems. Sure, some people might be able to relate. Some people might be able to say, oh, this is how I treat, how I dealt with whatever. But that might not work for you. Not everyone is the same, surprisingly. So you gotta take responsibility, take ownership, take extreme ownership of everything that you have, and just say, okay, this is where I messed up. This is where it all hit the fan. But you gotta take ownership and say, okay, this is how I can fix it. Because Winston Churchill had another great quote. It was, let me find it here, because it was a great quote. And Winston Churchill is a wise man. Okay, it was complaining about a problem without proposing a solution is whining. And that's true. I mean, if you're going to come to me with and Jocko Willink, to go back to that man, I would always have guys come up to me and say, hey, I have a problem. Okay, he would then say, okay, what's your solution? And they say, I don't have a solution. You'd say, come back to me when you have a problem and a solution. And that's what we need. You can have a problem, sure. And you can come up and you can just sit there and mope. You can think, oh, I wish I was here. I wish. But at the end of the day, you can do all the wishing you want, but unless you can turn those wishes into goals, you're useless. I'm sorry, but you're useless unless you turn your wishes into goals. So pull up your pants, put on your big person pants, and do something about it. No one's going to stop you unless you're trying to, you know, actually hurt someone or shut them down or whatever, but those people are jerks. So don't let anyone stop you. You're in Canada. You're in a democracy. You can do anything. No one's trying to stop you. Run for politics. Join the army. Play professional sports, although that's very difficult. 1% of people get into professional sports, but who's to say you're not in that 1%? I mean, hard work is literally the answer. There's a football quarterback who then became an announcer. If he was ever beat, he could not sleep, could not eat. He'd be up till 1 a.m. throwing a pass that got intercepted and trying to dissect every part of that pass, why it was broken down, why the guy was able to pick it off, why he was able to see in practice what worked, but then in reality, it failed. That's the type of hard work you need to put towards your life. You need to take responsibility for your hard work and then just drive. Stay up till 1 a.m. working. Maybe not every night, because that might get a little unhealthy, but work hard. Hard work, at the end of the day, is all we have. You can lose everything, but then work hard, get it back, and you'll be back where you started. Anyway, we've got some more music coming your way. This is The Good Old Days by Macklemore featuring Kesha. You know, I was just browsing through Twitter, as you do during the break, and I came across, and I follow this guy on Twitter, Tim Kennedy. He is a UFC fighter, Special Forces in the U.S. as well. He is the living interpretation of the word badass. He has this one tweet, and it's a picture of someone pulling him up a wall during an obstacle course, I assume. And he says, I believe in personal responsibility, individual responsibility, apologies. It's not your duty to help, but you should. And that's another aspect of individual responsibility that is very important. It's not your duty to help someone. You don't have to go and help that homeless person. You don't have to go to a third world country to give aid. You don't have to join the army. You don't have to join the Navy. You don't have to join the Air Force. You don't have to become a police officer. You don't have to be a good person. You have to be a complete jerk to everyone you meet. You don't have to be a decent human being to anyone. But you should. Because then people like you. And it's just, that's another aspect of personal responsibility that I think really should be covered, because in today's political climate and today's climate in general, lots of people are just saying, oh, you're on the other side of the aisle. Oh, don't like you now. Whatever. You have one or two views that contradict with mine. Nope. But I think we have to take individual responsibility and say, you know what? We might be different on certain issues, but we're still all human. We're still all same species. So why can we not take individual responsibility and say, you know what? We may disagree, but I'll still listen to you. I'll still have a conversation with you. I'll still be a decent, respectable human being to you. And just, so maybe when you see a tweet that might defame someone, you know, that might say, oh, this person said this, so that immediately makes them a bad person. And maybe it does. There are some things that are inexcusable. Racism, obviously bad. If you're saying, you know, horrible stuff about anyone just based on their race alone, then you're kind of a bad person. You know, kind of a bad move there. But, yeah, unless someone's specifically saying, you know, incendiary things online, and some people are oversensitive about what incendiary means. But if you are, if someone's just stating their political opinion, say, on, you know, whatever it might be, you know, Trump, Trudeau, maybe they like them, maybe they don't like them. If they're saying, I disagree with this policy, you shouldn't immediately go and say, I think you're a complete dick because of this. No, you don't say that. You sit down with that person face to face. Never debate over the internet. I've done that before. Bad move. No one looks good when you debate online. But just sit down and have a conversation with that person. I mean, it's really not hard to be a decent human being. And people always say that. Oh, be a decent human being. Be a good person. Don't be a dick. But people still do that. I mean, the amount of hypocrisy I've seen just in life in general, people say, oh, don't be a dick. Don't be a jerk. Don't say bad stuff about people. But then in the same breath, they'll say, except for this person, and this person. Because they have views that disagree with me, and I am offended. Take personal responsibility. Just because someone's not agreeing with you, take that responsibility and try and change their mind to your point of view, and maybe they'll change your mind. Oh, maybe I didn't look at it that way. Maybe you're right. Maybe your opinion is right. Maybe you have some credibility there. Oh, I didn't know you had researched that topic before. Okay. Maybe you have some reason behind that. Okay. But just the amount of stuff I've seen online and in person, it's ridiculous. For example, there was a speaker on campus at Laurier who had very controversial views. I didn't support some of her views, but I still want her to be able to speak. I took the individual responsibility to go and hear her speak, because I might have had the chance to talk to her afterwards and maybe change her mind. Because that's what we can do in Canada. We can have decent conversations about subjects that might be a bit taboo. That unfortunately never came to pass, because there are people, communists, literally they were flying the communist flag, and I don't see why communism never works. It has a 0% success rate in global history. And still people fly the hammer and sickle like it's a revolutionary flag, when in reality that flag has killed more people than Nazis in World War II. Nazis, obviously, horrible people, and no one should fly their flag either. Again, kind of a dick move there. But we should still talk to people who fly the Nazi flag, because then we can change their mind properly instead of yelling at them, screaming at them, and shutting them down, because that sort of vindicates their point and makes them say, oh, I'm stigmatized because I'm right. Anywho. But yeah, that person who I was talking about, back to this subject, fully coming around, that person who I went to see, she never got the chance to speak because the fire alarm was pulled and we had to evacuate the building. She never got to speak. I never got to have a conversation with her where I might have been able to change her mind about some of her subjects that might not have been right. Now, she obviously had a PhD, but, and I know I'm contradicting myself there when saying everyone with a PhD is smart, but she was educated, obviously, but at the same time, it's like, I was hoping to change her mind, and I didn't get the chance, because people were like, we don't even want to let her speak. Fire alarm. Not a great move. That's how you make people with poor, you know, opinions. That's how you get them thinking, okay, people are shutting me down because I am right, and they just don't want my correct opinion to get out, even though they probably have a bad opinion. Stupid, really. But yeah, that's my rant about that. We'll be back with some a little lighter topic for the back half of the show. We'll be talking about St. Paddy's Day and whatnot. But I want to, that was something that was weighing on my consciousness a little bit. Personal responsibility, just because there are some people who need to take personal responsibility in their lives. And yeah. Anywho. Here's some more music for you. Black Tattoo by FM Static. She's got this picture in her head of leaving. Feels like there's nothing left and no good reason. How could he hit her? She was a fun. Howdy, howdy, hey, my favorite people. How y'all doing? So we are back, and we're going to lighten the mood a bit with some fun little Irish things. Little history of St. Patrick's Day, because that's coming up. Little activities you can do and all that fun stuff for St. Patrick's Day. But first, I want to give a quick shout out to Ash. He was on here a little while ago. He is the host of the Humans of Laurier. He is the host of the Humans of Laurier Instagram page. There we go. We got there, folks. We got there. He has been working hard, and guess who's going to be featured on Humans of Laurier? This guy, that's right. Talked with him about being a host on Radio Laurier, talked with him about life in general, talked to him about why I joined the Army. It's a great time. He did his own little interview with me, and it's great. So I'm going to be featured later today on the Humans of Laurier Instagram, so go give him a follow. Great page. You can hear lots of fun stories about everyone here at Laurier from all types of walks of life. Anywho, let's get down to St. Patrick's Day. That's a nice little plug for him. Now let's get down to St. Patrick's Day. So, St. Patrick's Day was feast day of St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland. Born in Roman Britain in the late 4th century, he was kidnapped at the age of 16 and taken to Ireland as a slave. He escaped but returned about 432 AD. Dates are hard. I mean, the Encyclopedia Britannica thing right now. Dates are very misleading this. He turned in about 432 AD to convert the Irish to Christianity. By the time his death on March 17th, 461 AD, He had established monasteries, churches, and schools. Many legends grew around him. For example, they drove snakes out of Ireland and used the shamrock to explain the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For those of you who don't know, that's, yeah. If you want to learn more about that, the Holy Trinity and stuff, take a religious course or go to the Catholic Church. Ireland became to celebrate his day with religious services and feasts. So originally, St. Patrick's Day looks to be a very religious and spiritual time, much unlike the how it's celebrated today, you know, with excessive drinking and just general intoxication. Complete opposite of how it's celebrated today. Anyway, back to the Encyclopedia Britannica story of St. Patrick's Day. As immigrants, particularly to the United States, transformed St. Patrick's Day into a largely secular holiday of revelry and celebration of things Irish. So that's how it became sort of what we know today, you know, boozing and stuff. Cities with large numbers of Irish immigrants often wielded political power, so that'd be, you know, Irish American politicians, staged the most extensive celebrations, which included elaborate parties. Ahem. Ezra Street. Woo! Go there for Hotel, go there for St. Patrick's Day. It's a good time. Boston held its first St. Patrick's Day parade in 1737. So they actually have a parade. Ooh, fancy. Followed by New York City in 1762. In 1962, so almost 200 years later, Chicago has colored its river green to mark the holiday. Although blue was the color traditionally associated with St. Patrick's Day, green is now commonly used on the blue. Blue was the original color of St. Patrick's Day. Why was blue the traditional color of St. Patrick's Day? That is weird. Let's look that up, folks. Why was blue the original? I looked up why was blue and black dress so popular. Let's not bring that back. The blue and black dress. No, we are not going there again. Color. Why was blue the original color of St. Patrick's Day? There we go. Loading. St. Patrick's Day, blue, not green, say historians. The hue, St. Patrick's blue. So it's actually a hue. It looks sort of like a light blue. Can still be seen in ancient Irish lights and was used in Ireland's. Oh, okay. So essentially what it's saying is St. Patrick's blue, which is sort of a mix between baby blue and light blue, it seems, was the color of ancient Irish flags. So originally the Irish flag wasn't green, white, and orange. It was sort of a baby bluish. And flags by members of the Irish Citizen Army, whose 1916 Easter Rising rule ended the British rule. Huh. So yeah, that's why it's blue, because the original Irish flag was blue. The Irish Army wore it, so then, bada-boom, that's how you got blue on Irish, but now it's green, because green is predominantly associated with Ireland and Boston. Irish and non-Irish alike commonly participate in wearing the green, sporting an item with green clothing or shamrock, the Irish national plant on the plow. Corned beef and cabbage are associated with the holiday. Why? I don't know. Both okay. Corned bread. No. Corned beef doesn't sound like a tasty meal to me. I mean, teach their own. And even beer is sometimes dyed green to celebrate. Sometimes green. Don't drink green beer. It's disgusting. Don't drink green beer, people. Although some of these practices eventually were adopted by the Irish themselves. They did so largely for the benefit of tourists. So, St. Patrick's Day is predominantly celebrated by Ireland because it is a tourist attraction. Not because, you know. Well, they originally did celebrate, but now it's sort of become sort of a cultural attraction. Not so much a thing. It's like, did you know that in Rome, they traditionally do not eat pizza. Rome is in Italy, for those who don't know, but traditionally they do not eat pizza. They serve pizza there for tourists. Now, in the rest of Italy, they'll serve pizza, and it's delicious. I've been there before. I've had Italian pizza, best pizza I've had in my life. But, yeah, in Rome, they don't serve pizza unless it's tourists. So, the more you know. Anyway, back to St. Patrick's Day. That's where we got on that land. According to legend, St. Patrick drove out snakes. But, of course, there weren't any slithering reptiles to drive off the island. Yeah, people usually don't tend to associate island with snakes. The reference was thought to be metaphorical. St. Patrick, who converted pagans, so the Celts, you know, those guys, to Christianity, was a man who drove out evil non-Christians from the land. More you know. So the snakes were metaphors for pagans. Irish bars were closed on St. Patrick's Day. Since 1903, when the Irish politician James O'Meara, very Irish name, introduced a bill into Westminster that officially made it a public holiday back in his homeland. But not until the 1960s could you find revelers celebrating at a bar. So they didn't even start drinking until the 60s in Ireland. Oof. Yet we know that in the 1700s, people were going mad crazy over in the U.S. for St. Patrick's Day. So, catch up, Ireland. It's your holiday. Ireland is heavily Catholic, and St. Patrick's Day falls during Lent, which means, although celebratory feasts and drinks were allowed, an all-night party seemed a little too sinful. Okay, that sort of makes sense now in context. Fearing excessive drinking, Ireland introduced a law that forced all pubs to close on March 17th. Luckily for beer makers, the law was repealed in 1961. Because it's Ireland. Because it's Ireland. Are you really going to stop people from drinking in Ireland? Come on, guys. Come on. The Irish are now free to get as drunk as Americans who use the holiday to get drunk while celebrating the Irish. Yeah. Yeah, you're not celebrating the Irish, let's be honest. You're using it as an excuse to get drunk. Yeah. I mean, kids use it to wear green and stuff. Yeah, that's all good. Adults, they use it as an excuse to get drunk. Don't act like you don't do it, yeah. Especially here at Laurier. But that is beside the point. Anywho, we've got a couple more songs coming your way, folks. Just because I like music, you like music, we all like music. That's why you turn into the radio. Not to hear me rant and ramble about boring stuff like personal responsibility and comparison, even though that stuff is very important. But it is also for the music. Now, here on the Bravo Sierra Hour, we do like supporting local artists. So, we are going to go on to SoundCloud here, because SoundCloud is amazing. Then Spotify and Apple Music, obviously, but I do like me some SoundCloud once in a while, if you know what I mean. So, we are going to look up stuff on SoundCloud. Ooh, hey, it's my account. Let's see, what do I want to play? My old podcast, Running Towards Gunfire. If you want to hear the early stages of what the Bravo Sierra Hour might have been, horrible, then go look up Running Towards Gunfire with Quinn Hassel. It was a horrible show, not gonna lie, but if you want to hear me embarrassed, go look that up. It's funny. So here is a local artist, Voices by Myth of Innocence. There's going into the sentence on there. Whoopsie. Sorry there, folks. And it is coming to a close here in the Bravo's here hour. I will have to wrap up in a few minutes. I sound like a professional DJ all of a sudden. What's going on? Never mind. I'm back. But yeah, I will have to wrap up soon, folks, unfortunately, just because we do have another awesome show coming on here soon. But let's do a recap of what we talked about here on the Bravo's here hour. We talked about personal responsibility. Pick up your cross and carry it. Yeah. But yeah, just take responsibility for your actions, whether it's in school, whether it's in life. No matter what, you can do anything, but just no one is stopping you from doing what you're doing, unless, of course, you're a genocidal maniac like Hitler, which in that case, just stop. But pretty sure most of my listeners, if not all of my listeners, are not genocidal maniacs. So, carry on. The patriarchy is not a link to you. The only thing stopping you is you. Seriously. So, with that said, carry on. And we've also talked about St. Patrick's Day. We talked about the history. How blue was the original color of St. Patrick's Day because the Irish flag was originally a baby blue color. So, yeah. It was originally baby blue, but then became green because Ireland is the Green Isle, the Emerald Gem, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah. And we also talked about how America really started the excessive drinking thing in 1700s and the 60s because, you know, it's America. It's what they're famous for. So, and then we sort of just rambled on and on. I think I talked about communism for a bit there because it doesn't work. By the way, communism, socialism, practically the same thing. Sorry to break it to you, Bernie fans, but it's true. Anywho, folks, I will leave you with this thought. If you're going to walk on ice, you might as well dance.